copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The title of this session is Mission and Ministry, and I'm not sure that's the best title for it, but I think as we talk about what we're about in terms of ministry and about the mission of our organizations, clearly we need to have a vision and a mission for what we are all about. And Monday, Jerry will spend an entire session talking about strategic planning and the importance of having a compelling vision statement and a mission statement that makes sense, and how do we guide people and take people on that journey along with our ministry and the planning that has to go with that. So we'll spend more time talking about that later, but clearly mission is important. But and I think you probably will get a bigger dose of this from Jerry on Monday, but clearly we think about a mission, and I just put two mission statements up there just as examples, Habitat for Humanity, and international worldwide kind of home building group. It's very well known, and they have really three important things to do. They build homes, they build communities, and they build hope. So everything they do is focused around those things that are listed in their mission statement. Heartbeat International is a Christian pregnancy care group. I spoke at their conference last week, and this is their mission statement: to reach, rescue, and renew. So everything they do is focused on that. So whether it's our annual report, whether it's a newsletter, a letter that we're sending out, a meeting that we're holding, a presentation that we're doing about our ministry, that mission needs to come out. And your mission is very different than anybody else's in the room, because our organizations, our ministries are all different. God has called us to different things, and that's fine, but we need to know what that mission is. But I want to talk a little bit, for me anyway, in my experience as a development individual, someone who's been about the business of fundraising for a number of years, kind of something I think is kind of behind the scenes of that mission. And I think in terms of ministry, I like to call it the ministry of development. And again, I don't know many people who woke up in the morning and said, oh, I'm going to be a fundraiser today. Because at least in the United States, that term fundraiser comes across usually negative for many people. When people say, oh, you're a fundraiser, they physically start to back up from you, and they kind of cover their wallet with their hand or hang on to their purse a little tighter because they think you're going to, you know, somehow pick their pocket. But I think there's an incredible ministry that comes through the process of development. And I go back to that very first slide. We're about developing rational relationships with other people. So if we're in the business of relationships, then we're in the business of ministry, because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters. So what does that ministry look like? How can we take this term of fundraising and the connotation it tends to have in early make that look more like ministry and more like care for people? That's kind of what we're hoping to do. So as I mentioned earlier, if it's a rational relationship, there's intentionality. It's a two-way street. Both parties receive something from that relationship. It's not a transaction. It's not an arrangement. It really is a relationship. And then how can we use our development relationships to help minister to our partners? That partner could be a funding partner, it could be a volunteer, it could be someone on our board of directors, it could be an advocate for us, someone who's kind of their champion, our champion in their church body perhaps. So how can we really make sure that we can minister to those individuals? And I kind of look at it from two different standpoints. One prism is certainly we have to steward the donation. And again, I can't speak for every single country represented in the room, but in this country anyway, it's very clear. If a donor says, I want this money to go to a specific program within the ministry for a specific cause, we need to make sure that we honor that and it goes to what they want it to go toward. If we're trying to build a new building and this person says, no, I don't want to contribute to your building, I want it to go to your daily operations, your daily ministry, then we have an ethical responsibility to make sure it goes toward what the donor intends. We call it donor intent. So we have to steward the donation, has to make sure it goes to what that partner really wants it to go toward. That we're communicating how we're using the funds, what kind of impact is happening. We need to be transparent in the reports that we use. And share with people that there's not some, you know, secret fund off on the side that nobody knows about that we're using to fund ministry or fund, you know, heaven forbid, something that's improper. And certainly to give gratitude for the gifts that we have, a notion of thankfulness for people. And we'll talk about how to thank people in a couple of sessions as well, the different ways that we can do that. So we have to steward the donation. But I think for me, this idea of ministry of development, we really steward the donor as well. We need to pray for them. They are actually kind of walking their obedience, walking their faith through their gift to you, through their gift to the local church, through their tithe. So how can we make sure that we're helping them to aspire in reaching their spiritual goals, contributing to the development of their spiritual gifts as they help fund or as they help support our organization? So it really is helping them kind of cast their own vision for their life, their time, their talent, the treasure, and I'd add another one, their testimony. So time, talent, treasure, and testimony in terms of them as a donor. And that I think sometimes is a very different prism and a very different attitude that we have toward people. We're not looking at them as a bank machine or as a check writer. We're looking at them as a believer, as an individual, as a person who's trying to walk with God the same way that we're trying to walk with God, under more submission, more obedience every day. And I think we as development directors, as people involved in the process of fundraising, can help people do that if we're stewarding the donor as well as stewarding the donation. Jerry will share with you probably on Monday one of his other terms, quote, we've used for a long time, lead with your vision, not with your need. And there are thousands and thousands of NGOs, faith-based organizations, and other good causes that lead with their need. And many times they do that because it's kind of a negative twist, and advertising says that negative messages communicate more effectively. I don't know if I believe that or not, but that's what they say. So really, we want to lead with our vision, and our vision is the life change that happens because Jesus is working in the lives of people that we're ministering to. And I think if we let our donors know what the vision is, they can join that vision, or maybe the vision doesn't match up exactly the way that they want it. Maybe they need to find another ministry to work with. And, you know, I would be disappointed if that were the case, but at the same time, if that's not helping them follow their walk with the Lord, we need to make sure that we give them an opportunity to do that. Hopefully it's with our organization, but if not, give them a chance to move forward and do something else. I love this verse. It's vastly overquoted and probably misquoted, but where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So do we know the people who are on our donor rolls, the people that support our organization financially? Do we know where their hearts are? What motivates them? What drives them? What caused them to give to us in the first place as an organization? What does that look like in terms of this stewarding the donor as well as stewarding the donation? How can we help them grow on a regular basis? And it doesn't mean that, and again, depending on the size of your organization, I don't want you to feel like if you have 1,000 people on your database, that somehow you're going to know each individual person's motivation and their walk with the Lord, because we just can't keep track of 1,000 people. That's not possible. But there are probably a small subset of people that you can keep track of, or your board members can keep track of, and build that relationship, that rational relationship, so it's even closer, so it's even tighter, and we're actually ministering to those people who are contributing to us, not just collecting their donation and thanking them for the check that they wrote or thanking them for the in-kind goods that they provided for our ministry or our organization. You know, their giving is just an extension of their faith and their obedience. How can we help them support their faith and their obedience by their relationship with us and their relationship with our ministry? I hope that's making sense. And here's some practical things I think we can look at. And sometimes it's a culture idea within the organization. I know there are people that I've worked with in nonprofit organizations who are like, oh, I'll do anything you want. Just don't ask me to ask for money. That just makes me feel, you know, squeamish or is this not something I want to do? And depending on the culture that you're in, sometimes that process of asking for money can feel very disjointed, can feel very awkward. But really the process of development is not just for the development director, it's not just for the executive director or the head of the ministry. It really is for everyone in the organization. So at some level, we have to, as an organization, really begin to understand this ministry of development, that we're ministering to our donors. We're not just taking checks from them. We're not just sending them the pro forma thank you note that goes with every email. That's the thank you email because it's already built into the software program. How can we thank them? How can we engage them in a more important way? We need to have an active board of directors who understands this is not just about running an organization, is about ministering to our clients or the people that we serve. It's also ministering to those people who are part of our organization and supporting our organization. I think a lot of organizations will get caught in, I mentioned earlier, lead with your vision, not with your need. I think many groups lead with their need because they don't do very good planning. And they're always sort of in crisis mode. So the organization is just always sort of running on a treadmill and never getting any place because they're always in this crisis mode. And when Jerry speaks to us on Monday about strategic planning, that's a great way to help pave the way, to help chart a course, to look at a horizon that's down 3 to 5 years and really think through how can we avoid these kind of crisis requests. Now, COVID in the last year caused all of us to think differently about how we do ministry. We went from in-person to virtual. We went from meeting with people in the same room to meeting with them on a screen. So how do we do that? And one way that we kind of think through that for us in terms of this organizational standpoint is something we call the attitude continuum. I'm going to step through this pretty quickly given time, but this is something that we've developed over time. And we just realized that everybody in relationship to organization is someplace on this attitude continuum. There's someplace between euphoria and cynicism. And I sometimes use the local church and my own local church because I can see people in my head who are in different places on this continuum based in our church. And you may be able to do the same thing with people in your organization as well. So euphoria obviously is this incredible feeling of connectedness, of exhilaration, of wow, this is just the best ministry, the best organization I could possibly be involved in. Then the other end of that continuum is obviously cynicism, where nothing we say, nothing we do, nothing we demonstrate is going to make a difference in the person's mindset of how they feel about us, their perception about us. But you don't go from the neutral standpoint in the middle of just meeting an organization or just meeting a person. You just don't start at neutral and fall either over to cynicism or grow up into euphoria. There's some steps you have to take. So we think there's steps of discouragement and frustration and apathy on the way to cynicism if people are there. And people who are discouraged, you know, clearly had a bad experience. There was a miscommunication. Something didn't happen the way that they expected. But if that continues to happen, then people get frustrated, right? Because things haven't changed. And sometimes then that frustration turns into apathy. It's like, well, nothing's going to change. I'm sorry. And then that becomes cynicism. So there's kind of a progression of people from this neutral category to cynicism. And people have a road that they take to get there. And that's through discouragement, frustration, and apathy. Likewise, people have a road or a journey to get to euphoria in relationship to our organization. Something happened that was very positive at the first meeting they attended, the first interaction they had with someone with our organization. May not have been the development director, may have been somebody else, may have been a board member, may have been a volunteer, but they were encouraged by that interaction. And that gave them some hope that what the organization is doing is positive and is God honoring in a way that really impacts lives. And that turns into enthusiasm. So people don't just go from neutral to euphoric. They really have a path and a journey that they take with those things as well. And here's my challenge to you, especially as we go into the next session with Keith, talking about marketing and communication, is that our organization puts people on that continuum. Whether we like to think it or not, the way that we've interacted with them, the way that we've ministered to them, the way that we've communicated to them, or the way that we haven't communicated to them, really determines where they are on that relationship. So people who come in and are discouraged, if we're not in a position where we can change that discouragement and do something hopeful and positive and kind of get them to turn toward the other direction, that then becomes perhaps frustration or apathy. And my experience is if they get to frustration or to apathy, it's really hard to turn them around and get them back on the next phase. So this is why we think the organization's role in ministering to people through the ministry of development is super, super important. because, you know, they may have, I've seen examples where a thank you letter that was sent out by a whole different department, you know, it comes into the organization, it comes to the bookkeeping or the accounting department, and they donate, you know, they put the check in the right journal and they send the thank you letter out and the person's name was misspelled. Because someone didn't take the time to proofread the letter. Or I've actually seen form letters where it said, you know, Dear Greg, but the inside envelope address was to somebody else because someone didn't take the time to pay attention to what was going on. So that causes discouragement and frustration. You're thanking me, but not using my name, using someone else's name because you didn't have the care to consider me as an individual in relationship with you, as opposed to just someone who wrote a check. And I'm not saying that's the only thing that happens, but that's an example perhaps of how other groups in the organization, other departments, other people in the organization impact this attitude continuum. So think about it. You had someone who's a very generous check and we thank them by the wrong name. Or thank them by the wrong amount. That just immediately takes people from neutral down a level, or even from hope down a level, from hope to encouragement. So it really is, for us, it's a schematic, a diagram of how everyone in the organization needs to realize there's this ministry that we're doing with people, not just collecting money, this ministry of development. And I suspect, if you think through people in your organization, you may have had, just like I have people at my church, you may have had two or three people come to your mind. And you know, oh yeah, I know that person is frustrated with us right now. That person is discouraged. Or I know that person is very hopeful, you know, and very encouraged at this point. So you just, you know, kind of think through, and you could probably think through some people that kind of came up with that. So some very practical steps, I think, for you as an individual responsible for development and for ministry. When I sit down with somebody, I ask lots of questions. And when I sit down either in a Zoom call with a potential donor or potential client, I just ask all sorts of questions, open-ended questions. I want to know what's going on in their life. I don't always start with, oh, you know, I'm meeting with you because I want to ask you for money. They probably know that because that's the reason, you know, they're in a relationship with us. They know there's probably a request for a donation at some point along the way. But I just want to know what's going on in their life. How's God working with their life? How did you come to know about our ministry? What is God teaching you as you get our newsletters, as you hear about the stories of life change? What are ways that we can pray for you? And if you're not doing this already, I know many of you do. If you're not doing this already, really, at some point during the week, if you have a staff meeting or a monthly staff gathering, I just always like to have 4, 5, 6 individual donors or partners that we can pray for during the meeting. So it is not so much, oh, Lord, give us more money. It is, oh, bless these people. We thank God for these partners. And if we know what's going on in their life and it's okay to share, I would do that too. But I think it really helps change the mindset of the people in an organization in terms of the name development, the term fundraising, because it really is a ministry as much as it is anything else and a function of the organization. So, again, a couple of things you might want to think about. You could do this virtually or do this in person. We're going to give you some time, next 10 minutes or so, to kind of do this to yourself. You can turn your camera off, turn your microphone off, but really think through, are there some people you could meet with in the next month? Maybe it's 2 people per week in the next month, and really think through face-to-face if you can do it. Now, realizing the pandemic doesn't always allow that, but you know, phone calls work just fine. It's amazing. We kind of get used to Zoom calls and in person, forget that there's actually a phone and the phone still works. And many people are just okay talking on the phone. And really kind of think through, who are people that I can start working with now? I really can start to implement and apply this idea of the ministry of development. 1 or 2 people a week, start to meet with as you have time, as they have time, as restrictions allow. Maybe have board members join you in some of that so they can hear what's going on with some of their partners. And maybe not always pick the biggest donors. I think board members and others tend to look toward the people that have the most zeros at the end of their checks or their contributions. But who are those faithful people have been donating for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Those are really, you know, great partners in ministry. How can we help them on their spiritual journey as well? And I think it needs to be a personal conversation, not just an email, not just the blanket newsletter that everybody gets, but really a heartfelt conversation with them. So I'm going to give you about 10 minutes now. Get a piece of paper or your notes in your computer and just kind of pray on who are the people that you think God is sensing you to contact. Again, two people per week in the next 4 weeks. Do a little homework on them in terms of their history with their organization, with your ministry. And I say put on your pastor's hat. So together that pastoral care, that ministry hat, not just that fundraising hat, but that pastoral hat of how can I, as an individual responsible for ministry, who should I be contacting? And then who can we be working with? Just do that on your own. But let me just pray for us before we get into this self-reflection time so we can kind of get into this with a good mindset. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that you are our Heavenly Father. We ask over the next 6 to 8 to 10 minutes that you would put on our hearts the names of individuals that you want us to contact, that you want us to reach out to, that you want us to minister to. Lord, they've ministered to us through their contributions, through the faithfulness to our ministries and organizations, but we now want to minister to them in a vital way, in a vibrant way, in a way that is honoring to you and honoring to their relationship with our ministry. So, Father, just put those names in our hearts right now, and we thank you for that in advance and pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.